Hey, Fred. Hey, listen, I don't know if this is such a good idea. You know, Ken Chatterton really doesn't like rock music. You gonna kill that? Yeah, let's see if we can find something that's a little more suitable for Ken. Here. Try this card here. See what you think of this. Yeah, that's perfect. Just the kind of music folks in Mansville like to hear. That is sweet. Heidi Xers, Phil Wayne here with another edition of Market Scope. A couple months back, Mark Marino sent along a cassette with a whole bunch of edited air check bits from Salt Lake City, Utah. And being that we've never been to Salt Lake City before, I thought we'd just kind of roll through the tape a little bit and check that out.
Call now, 800-345-4100. That's 800-345-4100 for Sports Illustrated for Kids.
KK, AM 630. We're talking Utah.
How to eat with your heart in mind. Call the AHA at 1-800-AHA-USA-1.
Kathy Herman in the third and final hour of Switching on the Underground. I think the first 2 hours were great. Jack McGlam is a wonderful man and what he's trying to do. And knowing that you support him and that you're actively involved in what's going on in this state and in this country and in this world. We've got one heck of a listenership at this hour, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. Thank you for keeping me here.
If you would like a tape copy of tonight's Switching on the Underground with Kathy Herman, you can order during regular business hours Monday through Friday by phoning 801-264-8250. Two-hour tape programs are $8 plus any shipping and handling costs. One-hour segments are $6 plus any shipping and handling. You may order by mail by writing tapes. Switching on the Underground with Kathy Herman, KTKK Radio, 3595 South, 1300 West, West Valley City, Utah, 84119. Or just call 801-264-8250 for a copy of tonight's show.
Maybe spend my life just working.
You are listening to KFAM, North Salt Lake City, at AM 700. With a summary of world and national news, I'm Russ Allen.
Hi, John and Dan from Z93. How'd you like to win a new Chevy S10 four-wheel drive pickup truck just in time for the deer hunt?
It's Win Wheels for the Hunt from Allied, Gus Paula Chevrolet, and Z93.
All you have to do is register at any Allied store. They have them in West Valley, Sandy, Murray, and Tooele. Or sign up at Gus Paula Chevrolet.
Then listen to Z93 to find out if you're a key winner. The key winners will try their luck at the grand prize giveaway October 21st, and one of them will drive off in that new truck.
Win Wheels for the Hunt from Allied, Gus Paula Chevrolet, and Utah Classic Z93.
In the studio was sponsored by AT&T.
Z93 is AM 860, KLZX Salt Lake City, and 93.3 KLZX FM, Salt Lake Ogden and Provo, Utah's classic rock and roll.
We are sitting in this is the very room, the very room where it happened. You know, the double fantasy was brought alive, as it were, in this very bloody room, wasn't it, dear? Yes, exactly.
Now the Westwood One Radio Network presents The Beatle Years.
Call 9 10 a.m. would like you to know that coming to the campus at the University of Utah on the morning of October 30th, the Associated Students of the University of Utah and participating sponsors are pleased to bring you the 5th annual 5K run benefiting ASUU. For registration information, please call the ASUU offices at 581-6866. And I'm David Roberts with ASUU, keeping you in touch with Utah.
Want to invest in the stock market, but you don't have the time or the know-how to invest in individual stocks or bonds? This message sponsored by the Utah Division of Securities.
6.5 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock on call 910 KALL, Salt Lake City, Ogden, and Provo, your station for news, talk, and sports. Wasatch Front weather, increasing high clouds tonight. Lows will be in the upper 30s to mid-40s. Monday, it'll be mostly cloudy with widely scattered afternoon and storms or thunder showers, and the high will tomorrow will be near 70. Currently in Salt Lake City under partly cloudy skies, it's 49 degrees. Talk that continues right here on call 910 with David Edsel, and David Edsel alive.
Well, guys, it's 10 o'clock straight up, and I hope you guys have a good day at school tomorrow. If you go to school, if not, you guys are on the track where you don't have school for this week or the next couple weeks, have a good, safe time while you're home. And I'll see you guys next week, and we will announce another winner in our poetry contest. So make sure you get your poems in early, okay? Alrighty, see you later.
KKDS AM 1060 now signs off the air at the end of the broadcast day. KKDS is owned and operated by Holiday Broadcasting Company and is licensed to South Salt Lake, Utah. Tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock a.m. for more of the Imagination Station, KKDS AM 1060. Thanks for listening and good night, everyone.
Once again, the final score from Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, Philadelphia 2, Atlanta 1. For Johnny Bench, I'm Jerry Coleman, saying so long for CBS Radio Sports.
KSL News Time is 10:25. Don't forget you can follow all the Major League Baseball action for the playoffs, both American and National League Championship Series, right here on KSL News Radio 1160. Here's the forecast for the Wasatch Front. Increasing high clouds tonight with lows in the upper 30s to mid-40s. For tomorrow on Monday, mostly cloudy with widely scattered afternoon showers or thunderstorms. Strong gusty winds developing, highs near 70 tomorrow. For tomorrow night, scattered showers and a few thunderstorms still lingering around, lows in the mid-40s. And then for Tuesday, variable clouds, and again a chance of showers, highs in the mid-60s. In fact, the chance of some heavy rain is 20% on Monday, 50% Monday night, and 30% on Tuesday. Currently around the state this hour, partly cloudy skies and 49 degrees in Ogden. High clouds and 49 degrees being reported at Salt Lake International Airport, where we reached a high of 66 degrees today. And outside Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City, currently 51 degrees. In a few moments, we'll be joining the remaining portion of the World of Religion already in progress, followed by Music and the Spoken Word with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir at 10:30. This is KSL News Radio 1160, Salt Lake City.
AM 1280, KDYL. And was that spectacular? I'm asking you, I'm telling you, yes it was. Sammy Davis Jr., what kind of fool am I? Before that, Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 tons. And Percy Faith with his orchestra. Theme from A Summer Place.
Start your day with Mark and Danny and wonderful memories. Plus news, weather, and traffic on AM 1280 KDYL. The wonderful memories. AM 1280 KDYL, Salt Lake City.
From the CNN News Center in Atlanta, I'm Brad Johnson.
This is Headline News, a CNN network.
KCNR 1320 News Time is 14 minutes past the hour. The KCNR weather forecast for the Wasatch Front calls for mostly sunny today, with scattered high clouds tonight. Partly cloudy, a chance of showers, but warmer on Monday. Today's high in the mid-60s, lows tonight between 40 and 45. Monday's high, 65 to 70. And that's the weekend weather. I'm Nelson Feliciano for KCNR 1320, Utah's News Time.
This is Utah's station for news and hot talk. News Talk 1320 KCNR, Salt Lake City.
KSOP presents John Anderson in concert November 10th at 9 p.m. at Upper Country. It's going to be a dance place like none other, not only here in Utah, but maybe all over the West. Salt Lake's newest dance club at 3485 South Main. Troy's planning on opening the doors last weekend of this month, I believe. Hopefully all goes as scheduled. Tickets are $16 to see John Anderson there and on sale at Upper Country. I think you're going to love it for concert viewing and enjoyment. You can get $2 discounts on your tickets, by the way, with your KSOP Country Club card. The tickets are also on sale at all Smith Dix locations. John Anderson coming to Upper Country, presented by Country 104.3 KSOP.
Country 104.3 KSOP. Your country concert connection takes you on the road to see Alan Jackson live in concert in Pocatello, Idaho.
Thursday, October 28th.
50 lucky winners will be on the KSOP tour bus to see one of country music's hottest stars, Alan Jackson.
With food provided by You're the Boss Lunch Delivery.
Listen for Alan Jackson to tell you you're listening to KSOP.
Be the 104th caller at 570 KSOP.
And join us on the road to see Alan Jackson live.
Exclusively from Utah's best country.
KSOP.
The only two radio stations in the world that play LDS music every day. 1400 KSRR Provo and 1230 KMGR Murray, Salt Lake City.
Jalisco y Super Banda Mayari. Próximo sábado 16 de octubre en los terrenos de la Feria de Salt Lake City. Este es otro evento de primera de Promociones Frontera. Allí la esperamos.
KZWQ 1550 AM es Radio Frontera desde Salt Lake City.
Ándale, pues, mis amigos, 25 minutos y serán las... 25 apenas de las 4, hombre, tempranito, todavía una tarde bastante agradable. Saludos musicales a todos ustedes, mis amigos. Nos viene a solicitar una canción para saludar a Debbie Gómez, dicen. ¿Quieren escuchar el libro abierto? Con mucho gusto vamos a entregarle algo con Gerardo Reyes, acompañamiento de tambora.
Thank you, Mark, for a good job out there in Salt Lake City. Haven't heard that market in a long time. Now, before we close here at Marketscope for the month, I just wanted to check in real quick down in Jacksonville, Florida. We've got some interesting things happening on the 690 spot there. And Randy Jones set up some information to us on the old WPDQ.
WPDQ, Jacksonville, Florida. This station, of course, is still silent. But when we were on vacation in Florida, we visited their nighttime transmitter site in Baldwin. Lots of tracks in the muddy driveway indicate a lot of recent traffic here, so watch this frequency. Something is about to happen, it looks like.
Hello, everyone on the DX Audio Service. Randy Jones in St. Augustine. And after Jerry said that, why I actually began to listen a little closer, was listening really since WPDQ went silent in September. And on Sunday afternoon, April the 10th, tuning around here and actually heard the mighty 690 fire up the old transmitter. There's a transmitter, and we'll have a test tone shortly. The mighty 690 WPDQ returned to the air.
To say hello to Jerry Starr, everybody at the National Radio Club DX Audio Service. 7:51 with Chris Edwards on a Sunday afternoon. The mighty 690 WPDQ is back on the air with 50,000 watts.
Jacksonville's fine one.
WPDQ.
759 with Chris Edwards. That'll do it on 50,000 watts for a Sunday afternoon. Getting ready for the big day tomorrow. It's been fun being with you. See you soon.
So there you have it, the return of WPDQ, and a very short return because beginning at 7 a.m., Monday, April the 11th, WOKV moved here from 600, actually simulcast for a week on 600 and 690, WOKV being the news talk format in our area, and then moved full news talk programming here and a big band format on 600. WPDQ has certainly been around the dial here. Started in the mid-50s or earlier, I suppose, on 600. In the mid-60s, spent a couple of years on FM, 96.9. And then in the mid-70s, left 600 and made a swap with then WMBR, which was 1460. So WPDQ ended up on 1460 for a while. Then back to the FM band on 97 or 92.7. And stayed there for a while, and then back over to the AM band on 690 in the late 80s, where it remained until September of 93.
Real radio for the Southeast Coast, WPDQ, the mighty 690.
69 WPDQ in Jacksonville.
Talk and sports. It's 4 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick.
I'm Steve Sutton for Jacksonville's News Talk and Sports Leader.
Around the First Coast this afternoon, we will continue partly cloudy with temperatures near 86 inland, 80 at the beaches. This is TV 12 meteorologist Tim Deegan.
And right now it's 80 downtown, 82 at the beach. I'm Joyce Bender, WOKV News.
So this place has been fixed or replaced. Why not this? Good afternoon, America. And we used to start this show by saying hello, Jacksonville. Now it's all the Eastern Seaboard. 690 lives. Here is WOKV 690. I'm Mike Doerward. Now, if you're still listening on 600, all you need to do is make a little turn to the right. Just grab your radio knob firmly and just give it a gentle little turn,
yes. And where do you think you would find WPDQ now?
Mike Doerward, Program Director for WOKV. You've tuned to AM 600. Now, I appreciate you listening to AM 600, but unfortunately, all WOKV programs and personalities are on 690 WOKV. Now, soon, here on 600 WPDQ Jacksonville, you'll be finding something a little different. So we invite you to tune up now to 690 WOKV for all your favorite programs and personalities, but keep a space on your radio here for 600 WPDQ.
Maybe Jerry Starr will be kind enough to fill us in on what's happening down there at 600 in Jacksonville. Hint, hint. Well, this has been Phil Wayne for MarketScope. Just want to remind you that if you're interested in contributing to MarketScope by sending a cassette of the stations in your market to share with all the other guys that get this thing every month, and gals too, don't want to forget you, just send it to me, Phil Wayne, at 135 and a half Midland Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, spelled F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. The zip code is 45840-4642. And it would help us out a lot, too, if you would include the stations in order, like from the bottom of the dial on up, all the way to the top, and do both the AMs and the FMs for the FM connoisseurs that are out there. And now I'm going to present the finer sounds of John Bowker as we exhibit John's artistic abilities. Here's John to sing for us.
C-H-U-M 1050 Toronto.
Historical Moments in Radio. Hello again, everyone. Today I want to tell you about a pirate radio station that was so popular. A 5,000-watt CBS station in a city 32 miles away editorialized against it. Not only that, but the FCC monitors had to travel over 200 miles just to hear the station, and then had to confront an elegant lady before confiscating the illegal equipment. Well, now, one reason for telling you this story today is that at the 1994 convention of the DX Audio Service and the National Radio Club in Nashua, New Hampshire, one of the seminars is going to be on pirate radio. That is, alternatives that will keep you out of jail. So, pay strict attention if you ever thought about operating one of these bootleg stations. Well, the owner of the station we're going to learn about was just a young man, a teenager, really. The year was 1948. Radio was king, of course. There was no TV. And there was only AM. There were no FM stations. And shortwave then in the U.S. was pretty much as it is now, of interest to a very limited number of people, really. The tube radios that we had in those days would drift off a station more often than not. So the entertainment center was the domestic AM radio band. Listening to a baseball game was a treat for many people. This young man wanted to be a radio announcer when he grew up, and then it happened. In one of the several radio magazines of the day was an ad by the Concord Radio Company for a phono oscillator. It cost $19.95, and it was capable of broadcasting into nearby radios. Caution, the ad read, do not lengthen the antenna wire because this will extend the range of the transmitter and make it operate illegally. Well, okay, a few weeks later the new phono oscillator arrived, but the young man had been spending his time asking around the neighborhood what kind of radio programs were the most popular and found that music came in third or fourth. News was high on the list, but sports was the highest. Except that the most popular team in town simply couldn't be heard because the station carrying the games was just too far away. And our hero was surprised at this reaction of his neighbors because he could hear the distant station without much problem using the long wire antenna from his room out to the chicken house some 200 feet away. Now, of course, during the summer there was often static, but everybody was used to that, so it really didn't represent any problem whatsoever. Within a week of receiving the new phono oscillator, the second long wire antenna had been strung and connected to the very short antenna wire on the transmitter. This meant that the little transmitter might be operating illegally, but you know, let's try it anyway and see if it works. Oh, and boy did it. The operating frequency was adjusted with a little screw adjustment. It was set at 750 on the dial. Of course, it didn't take too long to learn that the signal at 1500, that's two times 750, was just as strong. And probably the signal got even stronger as you went up into the short waves, but after all, we were talking only about broadcasting baseball games. The inaugural broadcast was a rebroadcast of the baseball game from Fenway Park in Boston. The new station cut into it a little late because the operator was in school that day and the game started at 2 o'clock, but in between innings, the local station cut out the commercials and broadcast local events coming up in the next day or two. Everything, of course, was done live. After all, magnetic tape recorders weren't even on the market yet, and a disc recorder cost an arm and a leg. So the announcer wore earphones to monitor the ballgame commercials on the radio, while ad-libbing out of a newspaper the local events on the local station. It didn't take long, maybe a couple of weeks, for the announcer to start hearing about his operation, compliments not only from his school chums, but from neighbors and through his parents and like that. And then came the day that the monster WCAX station editorialized that childish pranks on the air, stealing copyrighted material owned by the Boston Red Sox, had gone far enough. And predictably, the FCC Boston office sent two investigators to shut down the small station in exchange for the simple equipment they left a complete set of the rules of the FCC pertaining to broadcasting. They had to confront an elegant lady to convince her that her son was a crook. That lady was my mother. June 5th, 1948. For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
It's time now for our musings from members. These are the thoughts of the National Radio Club members and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors, publishers, or the National Radio Club Incorporated.
Hi, DXers and Fred. This is Mitch Pomerantz from Los Angeles, California. A couple of quick things. Fred, it was great talking to you last week. Enjoyed it. The crow out of Reno has indeed gone to KKOH, as Jerry Starr reported. And the station down in San Diego that Jerry indicated way back in December was going back to KOGO, finally got around to doing it in the middle of March. They're now Hot Talk, G. Gordon Liddy, and other wonderful folk of that ilk. So that's what's happening from Los Angeles. And take care, everybody. We'll see you. So long.
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh in Oakland on Thursday, April 21st. 1430 KFIG Fresno used to simulcast with its FM counterpart, KSXY at 101.1 with an AC format. Now they are separate, and KFIG is running a Spanish format. I don't know when the change happened, but I just discovered it last night. On the 25th of April, and this morning at 6 a.m., 1370, KKSJ signed on the air their Magic 1370. They were testing out all weekend long, playing four songs with the title Magic in it. And so that's what they did all weekend long. And then this morning at 6 a.m., they signed on. Of course, I can't really get them because of some Spanish stations and stuff in the way. But KKSJ 1370 Big Band is now here. It's the 3rd of May, and Sunday night, Monday morning at midnight, 710 KMPC ceased being a sports station. It is now the new talk station. Capital Cities took over at midnight Monday morning, and among the people they're going to have Peter Tilden and Tracy Miller from KFI and KABC doing the morning drive with news and etc. And Tom Likas will be back in LA for a second time from 3 to 7 in the evening. And they're running a half-hour promotion loop with all the different personalities that they're going to have. So KMPC 710 is now the new talk station for Los Angeles. Everybody got booted: Charlie Tuna, Jim Healy, Bob Rowe, although they're still going to run the Angels and the Rams and the Clippers, although the Rams are moving out of Anaheim. So that's what's happening in L.A. KMPC 710 is the new talk station.
Mark Marino from the Chicago area with a couple of tips. I don't know if this has been on before or not, but KYA FM 93.3 in San Francisco is no longer oldies. As of a few weeks ago, they went to a young country format, at which point now they never say their call letters except once an hour. They've gotten that routine going with their young country. Also, I guess it was in the papers sometime around the 1st of June, WLS FM and AM are going to separate, and WLS FM is going to run a completely separate smart talk format, they're calling it. I understand that KMPC AM in Los Angeles is going to start a similar format, but sooner than that, in a week or so. So by the time you hear this, that might already be going. So look for WLS AM not to make references to the FM in a couple of months and have completely separate programming after about 3 years of simulcasts. And I forgot, on Sunday, April 10th, I believe it was, WLS and WGN were off, and while WGN was off around 4 in the morning, believe it or not, I picked up KDWN from Las Vegas out here, along with a foreign station, which I think was Cuba or something. But I was very surprised to be able to hear KDWN. I didn't think it would ever come out this far. Just want to report, if nobody else has already, that WISZ, I guess it is, 640 from Zealand. They're running the Radio Oz format, and we got it like a week ago last Sunday. This is Thursday, like the 12th. That would have been like, well, I guess the 1st of May was the first day I heard it. Just wanted to report that in case no one else had caught it yet.
Greetings, everybody, on the DX Audio Service. This is Skip Dabblestein calling from the Twin Cities on Monday, April 25th, with a couple of items. First, for about a week, station WDGY on 630 has been off the air. In an article appearing in today's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the station's general manager said that WGGY had signed off because the land near the eastern suburb of Woodbury, on which the station's transmitting facilities are located, was just sold to the State Farm Insurance Company, who apparently is going to build an office building on the site. Both WDGY and KDWB-FM are owned by Mid-Continent Media Incorporated. A spokesman for that organization said that WDGY would eventually return with all new transmitting equipment from a new location, but as of right now, that date is uncertain. To change the subject a little bit, those of you who are making travel plans for this summer that may include the Twin Cities, I encourage you to consider visiting the Pavic Radio Museum here in St. Louis Park, just east of Highway 100 on West 36th Street. It is a most interesting place and was recently written about in Popular Communications Magazine. There's a lot of early AM radios and DX equipment, including about two dozen loop antennas on display. Also, if you happen to be passing through the area on the second Friday of any month, feel free to join us for a meeting of the Minnesota DX Club. Our group includes several members of the NRC and the DX Audio Service. We meet at 7 p.m., alternating between the Pavic Museum in St. Louis Park and the Science Museum in St. Paul. Give me a call at 545-1836 if you're interested or have any questions. For now, 73s and good DX to you all.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. First, I would like to thank Jerry Starr for his excellent explanation of why stations solicit a change of city of license. I think I finally understand it. Sometimes I wonder about other things that stations do. WOLF in Syracuse went from 1490 to 1510. Now, if they had gotten a power increase to, say, 50,000 watts or even 10,000 watts on 1510, I would understand it. But they're going to run 700 and something watts during the day and 650 watts at night. I would presume that they had 1,000 day and night on 1490, so their power has actually gone down. And while they won't have interference from the dozens of stations on a frequency like 1490, they'll have interference from stations like 50,000 watt WSSH in Boston, 50,000 watt WLAC in Nashville, and a French station in Sherbrooke, Quebec, that I know comes into New York State, though I don't know how much power it runs. So it's hard for me to see what WOLF will have gained. Anybody like to speculate about that?
Greetings from Los Angeles. This is Mitch Pomerantz, and hi to all UDXers out there. This is Tuesday evening, May 3rd. It's about 8:40, and we have a major format change in Los Angeles. The much ballyhooed sale of KMPC from Golden West Broadcasting and the Autrys to Cap Cities Communications, and the attendant change in format has occurred. It occurred Sunday midnight. KMPC, which is at 710, went from an all-sports format to what they are calling 710 Hot Talk. And they have begun, at least to a small degree, to add programs. The only live program that is currently on the air is Tom Likas, and he is on the air from 3 until 7 p.m. Those of you who miss him in Boston, God knows why, but you'll get to hear him as of next Monday because his program is going to be nationally syndicated in about 30 cities, including, as I understand it, Tampa, Florida, and Seattle, Washington, San Francisco, Sacramento, and possibly San Diego, if I recall correctly. He is the only program on. The rest of the time, they are broadcasting a 15-minute infomercial talking about who they will be having on beginning Monday. no one that anyone outside of Los Angeles probably has ever heard of. Interestingly enough, their afternoon drive time, or the folks who are going to be doing the morning show from 6 to 10 a.m., formerly were afternoon drive time people on KABC, which, not surprisingly, is the other Cap Cities all-talk station in Los Angeles. A fellow named Peter Tilden and a lady named Tracy Miller. The story is that KMPC is to cater to the younger crowd, presumably under 40 or under 35, and KABC with its more staid talk hosts will be catering to the older folks, of which, thank goodness, I put myself in to that category. Tom Likas, who was fired from KFI, which is the third major talk station in town, about a year ago, has spent much of his last 2 days griping and complaining about KFI and how they must be terribly upset that he is back in Los Angeles, and he's quite obnoxious, but then he was quite obnoxious on KFI, and that's why they fired him.
Hi, this is Doug Emerson calling from Painesville, not with a format or call letter change, but a muse. How many of you were able to dial around in the affected area of the annual eclipse, which occurred on Tuesday, May 10th? I was, and I must say that the dialing around on the radio during the eclipse was especially interesting. I found the band most disturbed from 1600 kilohertz to 1150, but from 1150 on down, the band seemed little affected by the annular eclipse. The station here that really put in the good signal was 1170 WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia. Now, we can hear them here during the day on a better-than-average radio, although there is a lot of noise in the signal. Of course, at night, they fade up pretty good. But during the annular eclipse, this station was really putting in a good signal, almost as though you were in Wheeling, West Virginia itself. I sure would be interested in hearing from other DXAS members by way of the action line how you might have noticed radio conditions in your locale if you were affected by the annular eclipse. Well, that's all I've got to say for now, so 73s and the best of DX. We'll see you later.
Hi, this is Doug Hunsinger in Pittsburgh, PA. And I'd like to thank Dale Hamm for your market scope of the Austin, Texas area, because although this doesn't have to do with AM, I got an awesome e-opening on FM today, Saturday the 14th of May, 93.3, coming in for like 45 minutes, you know, with a few saves now and then. Hot Country 93.3, also 98.9 Z-Rock out of Austin, and 97.9 out of Dallas, and a whole bunch of others. But thanks a lot, Dale. The Austin Market Scope sure helped me ID a couple of stations, and really appreciate it.
And those are our musings for this edition of the DX Audio Service. Quick reminder, the telephone number is area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day. That number is for muses only. Please do not leave any business information, requests for tapes, or any personal correspondence on that line. And also be sure to make it brief and to the point. Organize your thoughts so everyone has a chance to speak.
WXYZ Weather.
Well, whether or not, it's time for Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup. Alan Combs fans, please note that he has picked up a weekend overnight gig on WTIC 1080. He had been a favorite on many of the Big Apple stations, most recently on WNBC when they pulled the switch to become WFAN. St. Petersburg, Florida-based Sun Radio Network has announced their afternoon drive talk program, Hot Talk with Charles Adler, has been discontinued as of May the 2nd. According to the notice the network gave to the stations dated March the 29th, a commitment to do a television program in Boston has made it impossible for Adler to continue the program. The network will be programming in its place Radio Free America with Tom Valentine from 3 until 6 Eastern Time. The Independent Broadcasters Network, including weekday morning and Saturday evening host Doug Steffen, who now resides at Boston area-based Talk America, also gone from Sunday Net, he is overnight host Stan Major.
Word from Westwood One is that the replacement for Larry King will not be one host, but two. Roger Stark reports that KEEN 1370 in San Jose, country music since 1946, was taken down on January 1st, 1993 because the estate of the original owner of the station and land decided that they can make more money with the land than with the station. The land will become an office park. The engineering staff was told to go out and find a place to put it back up. But where do you put three towers? Land in the Santa Clara Valley, Silicon Valley, in other words, is very expensive, and any site would cost more than the income generated. So a novel situation was dreamed up. The station was moved to KSJX 1500's transmitter site, and a new four-tower array was designed using the existing four-tower directional array of KSJX. On Monday, 4/26/94, KEEN came back as KKSJ, programming an easy listening big band mix with live DJs, an occasional live local newscast, and the ubiquitous Metro traffic. National Radio Club member Elton Byington passed along information that Associated Press has unveiled plans to launch a 24-hour all-news format aimed specifically at small to medium-sized markets. Target date is June the 1st. This new network will be satellite-fed and fed to affiliates from its Washington, D.C. studios. They hope to have 300 affiliates within the next 5 years. Associated Press will take advantage of their current staff of 3,000 housed and 92 foreign and 192 domestic bureaus. Susan Ness has been nominated by President Clinton to become an FCC commissioner. Cook Inlet has sold KBXX in Houston, and its other radio holdings are currently on the selling block. KJJO in Minneapolis has switched from Thunder Country to Classic Country. 83-year-old Eddie Saunders recently celebrated his 50th anniversary on the air, having hosted the Sermons in Song program on WVKO. Wolfman Jack is returning to the live airwaves for a Friday night gig on Washington, D.C.'s WXTR. The show will emanate from the Hard Rock Cafe. National syndication is anticipated. KOGO is now the talk trial running a Unistar satellite feeds. WLZR Madison has axed its adventure in alternative programming and is now simulcasting its FM sister. Jim McInnes has celebrated his 20th anniversary on KGB. Stormin' Norman is back in Connecticut, this time on WWYZ-FM. The famous sports babe Nancy Donnellan has signed on to ESPN Radio, hitting the air June 1st with a 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. time slot. She had previously been heard in Seattle and in Tampa. Dale Reeves, known to longtime Connecticut listeners as the Voice Man, has moved to a morning slot on WDRE in the Long Island and Philly markets. He'll be teamed up with Karen McHugh from WHUD. KOHT is switching from an all-Spanish to Spanlish programming. If you thought that the Enquirer and Star publications were just a staple of the checkout lines, watch out. Their parent company has announced the formation of a radio and television division to disseminate their news in another medium. WTOP recently celebrated its 25th anniversary as an all-news station. If you'd like to contribute to this column, you may reach Pete Kemp at the following addresses on CompuServe 72376, 2557, Prodigy, PFVK 52D, Internet, Pete, P-E-T-E, K-Z-1-Z, at AOL.com, or the FIDO system in the shortwave hammer broadcast echoes, or in the amateur radio packet league at KZ1Z at K1UOH.CT. That's it for P. Kemp's Radio Roundup. WXYZ weather. And that's just about it for us on the DX Audio Service. In our waning moments, I'd like to remind you that After Dark number 4 is out. It's $9.50 from the Publication Center in Yes, Virginia. We will be doing After Dark 5. We're starting on that project right now. Don't forget our DX Audio Service ball caps. They are bright orange. They are not yellow. In fact, one of the directors over the TV station told me this afternoon when I walked in that he could see me a mile away, so I guess they are working. They have DX Audio Service printed on the front and a picture of John Bowker's microphone. They're $12.50 from the Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661. When you renew your subscription to the DX Audio Service, be sure to include a telephone number for our database just in case your tape comes back or we have another problem with the post office. This way we have a way of getting in touch with you, and that's the only reason we'll use that phone number is if we have a problem with a tape getting to you. That's it for us. We'll see you in 30 days. 73s.